Diane Ross was recorded on the 27th of July, 1988, meeting this evening. To myself, many times, and I find it not irritating exactly, but with this circle, as I understand it, it is, as we all know, for a higher experience, knowledge, you know what, and all the rest of it. And I don't want to know in advance what may transpire with people, what they're thinking of asking, because, I mean, otherwise, I mean, I'll be frank about this. If somebody said, now, if we ask about, if you like, reincarnation, which is always a popular thing people ask about, then my mind, as much as I try not to, can become active. The things that I've listened to from people and their experiences and what I may feel about it, and I think, oh, I don't want to know. Let it come, whatever it is. It's a surprise as much to me as anybody. I don't want to become involved. The art of first-class mediumship, as I understand it, is when the medium is really more or less non-existent. I mean, I've seen it with well-known famous mediums. I don't want to start on that, but it's so obvious there are times when they get in the way and they give their interpretation of something they've received, which is not exactly as it's intended quite often. I could go into depth on it. I mean, I don't want to be caught up in it. I don't mind being the instrument. I've been many years an instrument, and I've been very happy to do the work, but I have no illusion.
Can I ask you, Leslie, I mean, there's no feeling in your mind, is there, of being caught up in what Dr. Lang might have said to us?
I don't think so. No, no, I'll be quite honest about this. I have no sense of not being honest about it. Some of the things, not just only Lang, but sometimes things that other people have said, I thought, oh, that's exactly what I feel. Well, that's what I think.
Mm.
Not always.
But I beg to say that that is part of the process.
Yeah.
It's part of why we are all here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for us all, every single one. And of course our minds, I mean, we are, in a sense, training our minds.
Yeah.
It is about that.
I mean,
the bits that Lang
said last week, and I thought, oh, yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
Mm.
That, now, if I'd been the medium, that could have been coming from my mind.
Yeah.
I wasn't the medium, you know.
Could I say something here from a medium's point of view with regard to my experience with Martin? When a soul speaks through Martin, like Tom or Charlie, and some of you have experienced that, they often start talking about mundane things, and I think, well, why are they talking about that? And they've explained to me that sometimes they have to clear Martin's mind, therefore talk about what's on his mind or what's passing through his mind to get him further away so that they can then go into something higher or talk about something else. But they can't step it straight away. They have to actually talk about something that's in his mind and get it out.
One thing I've been thinking about, which I shouldn't talk about, should I? When he said something about his indiscretion, I'm dying to know what it was.
Oh,
isn't that wicked?
What was no, it's natural, actually.
Yes, Leslie, he suppressed it. Leslie, he suppressed the report.
Yes,
the flowers. That was what he would
want. Well, it's one of the things he mentioned, because he actually mentions going to a medium, you see. I mean, he said, under cover of leaving his clerical column, he went to a medium.
That was part of his investigation. He was a very young man.
Oh, curious.
But it is also very interesting. Obviously, his enormous regrets when he finally sort of realizes when he's over there that a lot of the things that he was propounding and teaching were absolutely wrong.
Yes,
and that shows us surely that
we can ask ourselves, how
can we keep our minds open enough and not get them sort of crystal set so that they'll have to re-sort out our minds when we get over there.
And I don't think it's just us. I think we should, because we're privileged enough to be sitting in a circle like this and have that contact, I feel that we should actually be sowing seeds in a very gentle way to other people.
Well, of course, I think that's can help
one of the most important things I think that we have an obligation to actually do.
Mickey,
I think,
said Emma.
Hello.
Hello, Mickey. If
it is.
We were discussing the preparation of passing from this existence to the next existence and what we should try and achieve here to prepare us for coming over there.
And whether we should try. What is the purpose of trying?
Well, that seems an odd thing, doesn't it? One should try. One should always try, even if you're not aware of the things of the spirit.
To convince a non-believer, skeptic, is I think what we were saying, who could say to us, well, okay, I don't learn now, but I'll learn in due course.
Oh, that, you know, I was talking about every human being should surely try as best they can to do whatever they can that is for the good, not only of themselves, of course, but of others. You've got to give yourself to really come to terms with yourself. A lot of people, I don't know, they all want to do what they want to do in the way in which they want to do it. And often in consequence they don't learn anything. And they certainly don't make any contribution to the happiness and the peace of others, do they? I mean, you can't lift yourself and self alone. You've got to spread yourself out. You've got to give yourself. And when you really start forgetting many things appertaining to your own self, particularly on a material level, then you'll open up your consciousness surely to the things that truly are of the spirit. I mean, this is what it's all about, as far as I understand it. I mean, when I was on your side, I didn't have very long anyway, and I suppose I didn't do anything real bad or nothing, but then again, I do know now that that was an experience I had to have. And although I didn't think so at the time, I wouldn't have realised it, I did learn from it. I mean, there are many things that are odd. But anyway, I'm not here to talk to you like, of course, I'm only a sort of, the doorkeeper, and I'm not quite that either.
I
opened up the procedures.
But you also have a lot of knowledge, Mickey.
Oh, I've learned a great deal, because I've been dead, you see, all these You don't learn too much, you know, until you keep about it.
Is this a kindergarten for us?
In some respects, yes. But some are in higher classes than others.
Of course.
Because they've had good teachers. Most of the teachers are dentists.
Or have they been here before?
Some have. Well, I think all you lot have. But that's not for me to say.
But
I said it.
But do you think it be possible, perhaps, as we proceed at a later date, that...
You're an odd bunch, though, aren't you?
Well, that makes the interesting thing about it, Mickey.
Yes, well, you're like a mixed salad, ain't you, without the cream?
Give it some balance, Mickey.
We come.
No, I'm only kidding anyway. But I love everybody, you know, I real do. I look forward to you not coming, like, you know. I wish sometimes I could get more opportunity myself, but it's not my due, really.
Oh, we'd love to hear you, Mickey.
How are you getting on with all your alimony?
All right. One flew off today. It was so lovely. Great big herring gull.
And great big what?
Herring gull. You know, the very big gull.
Have you healed it?
Yes. And he flew off. Beautiful.
Oh, well, you did a good job there, girl, didn't you?
Yeah, it was lovely.
You really are a lovely person, Mark. I'm very fond of you. You do a lot for the Dubbins.
Well, someone
has. Yes, they do, don't they?
Yeah. I think you're all nice people. I think you've all got your respectable sort of well way of things, but... Well,
what do you mean you're respectable?
I didn't mean that, that's not a word. Respect him, I mean.
That's right.
Mickey, when you talk to us like this, can you see us?
Oh, you are funny. Of course I can see you.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily mean to say I can see you all the time. That's another weird thing.
Yeah.
You see, you lot, and understandably so, can only see with your eyes.
Yeah.
But we can see in a different way altogether. I suppose you could call it a form of sensing, but it's more than that.
Yeah.
We're aware of many things which you don't even know about. When we come down to earth, we see into your world in a way which you can't possibly see. I mean, you are limited to some extent, but we can see all much more and understand much more. It's difficult to put into words, but I'm not here to do the work. Hold on.
Thanks, Mickey, anyway.
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Very clear,
isn't
he?
One thing we didn't do tonight, we didn't have our healing session.
No, we didn't. Perhaps they can finish.
Yes.
You're probably all so relaxed, he's going to fall asleep.
Do what?
It's all right, Mickey.
All right. Roy's the one that goes to sleep.
Hey, come on, I'm not waiting for that, Mickey.
Do what?
Do I go to sleep? Because I'm tired, or do I go to sleep?
Well, it varies, I think. It's a combination. I think sometimes they're drawing a lot of power and energy and vitality, or whatever you like to call it, out of you, and you give out a lot more than perhaps you think. Of course, there are some times when you're not being used in any psychic way. That's because you're physically, mentally tired. And I suppose it's variable with everybody. It's bound to be. Anyway, I'm not supposed to be talking.
Right. Fair.
I have one.
I'll come back later if I get a look at you. How are you, Martin?
All right, thanks, Mickey.
Good evening.
Just a moment.
Yes.
Take a few seconds of your time to be able to manifest. I particularly, as I said previously, wish you, if you will, to ask any of the questions. I know that there have been times when it hasn't been possible for you to get a word in edgeways, and I apologize for that. It wasn't intended, of course. But you know, it's an extraordinary thing. When one has the opportunity, after a lot of experience of communication, and this fashion in particular, it's extraordinary how one is able to go on at length. Now, if I were on your side in the whole life, I would have had to hesitate here and there, or fumble perhaps occasionally for a word, but it's an extraordinary thing. When the channel is clear, and when I'm able to get through, it's as if there are no obstacles, no problems in carrying on, I suppose you would say, at length. Now, I know in a way that can be, from your point of view, not exactly disappointing because you can't get a word in, but, you know, there are so many things. Not necessarily only I, of course, but other people here would like to discuss with you, and if possible to open up your consciousness to the deeper issues behind the work of the spirit, which in some ways is only manifest, I regret to say, among the spiritualists in a very, well, a very poor way indeed, and often in a very low state. It depresses us tremendously, and I do want to be helpful, and I want you to know that in future I shall not speak at length, unless there's any special reason for it. I shall just say, now come along,
Which one of you wants to ask something? Now, don't anticipate that I, or anyone else for that matter, will be able to answer all your points or your questions. There probably will be certain things that we couldn't even bring down to a material level for you to grasp it. We wouldn't even know how to picturize it, as it were, in words. So there may be, and there should be, obviously, at times, some limit as to what we can give you. But we will do our best. Now, if anyone wants to ask, I don't know, shout at once.
Are you Cosmo back?
Yes, well, yes. I was.
Right.
There again, you see, this is how it is, and I suppose quite understandably, if you're sitting in a darkened room, as indeed you are, with an open mind in regard to the things of the spirit, well, indeed, not necessarily sitting at a seance, whether you're on the telephone, you like to know who the deuce it is at the other end. That's human nature. But you see, from my point of view, and the point of view of the vast majority of people that may, I hope, eventually come through and talk to you, we're not concerned with self. We're not concerned with who we once were when on earth or what our name may have been. We are concerned with what we have to say, the message that we have to give. Because in a sense, and I wish people could realize this, all communication from outside of life to a great extent, anyway, is what I would call fluidic, if I can so put it. I mean, one person may be chosen to be the mouthpiece, but what that person may have to say may be the combination of innumerable people's thoughts and ideas and impressions and things that they want to get over or convey to you. The mediumship in itself, any form of mediumship, by its very nature, it's very difficult, indeed, and very complex. We have great problems with mediums. We're very grateful to them, of course. We couldn't do very much without them from the point of view of communicating with you, dear people. But unfortunately, finding a channel which, by its very nature, is a clear-cut channel, is the most difficult thing to find. I've tried various mediums over the last few years, using your time condition, and quite frankly, apart from one other person, I found it extremely difficult. I found it most worrying with some of them, but I suppose one shouldn't, I'm not apportioning blame anywhere. Anyway, it's not, I don't want to continue on that line. I want to, now who's going to ask the first question?
Yes, could I ask you one on that point, please?
Well,
How does an instrument make themselves better to do the work, in your opinion?
Well, that's a question which would take quite a long time to answer, because there are many aspects to it, many facets to it, and I don't have to tell you that we on this side have to make the most of whatever channel it may be. Indeed, I do understand, and indeed I've met certain individuals over here who, when on earth, were mediums. And knowing them as I do, some of them, I'm afraid they weren't particularly, and by their own admission, very nice people on your side. Because, you know, although it's a great asset if the instrument is a warm, kind person who is very understanding, is a person who is sincerely endeavoring to serve and do the work of the Spirit and to be an excellent channel for the word of the Spirit, all that may well be, as indeed it should be, but it still doesn't alter the fact that when a person being used as an instrument is in a state of being which you might say is between two worlds, they're in a most peculiar state. And if they are of any real value as mediums, I think they have to release themselves as much as they possibly can from any of the events of the day or any of the conditions of their life which are on a purely material level. They have to raise their thoughts and their aspiration to the highest possible point that they could hope to manage. And this is, of course, by its very nature, the most difficult thing to do. And I regret to say, and I'm not blaming in this any particular person or persons who happens to be an instrument or a medium. I suppose the most difficult thing is to ignore, as it were, the world in which you live as best you can by opening up your consciousness to higher thoughts and higher conditions and making it, as it were, an easier channel for those who come from this side to commune with you. But you know, a lot will depend on many factors. A lot will depend not only on the medium, but also the kind of people who sit with the medium. They are the ones also who make a very important contribution. If they come on a very material level and they're only concerned with material things, then the medium has to some extent, be affected by that, and they too, in consequence, though they may bring out what is considered very good evidence, or perhaps something of importance in a material way to the sitter, they are brought down to a level which is very materialistic. And this is the tragedy of the whole subject. Another reason why, quite frankly, getting down to this, is that I was not too happy or favored making any sort of appraisement of spiritualism as such on a level which I felt I could really say was worthwhile or spiritually uplifting, because it does seem to me, rightly or wrongly, and I think rightly, that a lot of mediums lose the path. They may start out with great enthusiasm. They want to do the work of the spirit. They want to be instruments. They want to comfort those who mourn. And they want to help those who are sick and suffering in mind and in body. But that's all right, unless as it indeed should be. But there are very, very, very few mediums who really reach the condition which we would like them so much to so do. They do stay, unfortunately, it's not necessarily always their fault, on a level whereby they are betwixt and between. A real medium, as I understand it, in spite of all the complexities of their material life and the peoples they have to sit for and with, in spite of all the problems that they must face, they must try to raise themselves far above the mundane and the material. They must open their minds and their hearts to the things that truly are of God. Now, I use this terminology of God, of course, but I don't use it in the old orthodox sense. There is a great power which is beyond even my comprehension. None of us here can say we have seen God. We've seen the power of the spirit, which is the part of us which is indestructible, which is in all of us. We do not understand, I do not understand, I do not profess to understand at this point too much about the power which we refer to when on earth particularly as God. We know that there is a force of vitality, something that animates and gives us life, makes all things possible, and we are enjoined together in harmony and in love as we progress mentally and spiritually, become tuned in as one. What is God, of course, is something which I suppose in a way one should say, and I've strayed right away from your point, sorry about that,
but the point is that
ever since man first began to move, to walk, to become a person, if I can so refer man in the early stages as a person, when he was indeed of lowly order and he began to think, I suppose he realized through the passing of others, death, that he couldn't believe that that was all that life was about, a short duration on earth. And he considered there must be some supreme force or power. And he eventually
called it God or Jehovah or what have you, and in some instances in the earliest centuries he referred to other forms of life, the sun and other forces which he thought were of God or of whatever he referred to the power as, that it was the eternal and that he would have eternal life. Man couldn't accept the idea of death, so he had to create a father figure, a strong power, a great force that would enable him to continue beyond the so-called death. But now getting back to this business of your demonization, you've got to realize it's not an easy path. Indeed, it's a very difficult path, because in a sense, in some respects at least, you have little or no control over it. You have to give yourself completely, as best you can, to the forces of the spirit, the power of the spirit. It's no good saying to yourself, well, I will do this as best I can, and I will give out that which I get from within myself. That's all right as far as it goes, but how much of that which you are giving out comes from an outside source called the realms of the spirit, and by spiritual beings from our world, or how much comes from yourself, your wishful thinking? You know, a lot of people are very kind, very well-meaning, very considerate. They sit in these circles, so-called, to develop their psychic powers. Well, in some instances, some do develop. They open up, as it were, to some extent, and they receive very strong mental impressions, or they see mental pictures of individuals, so-called dead peoples, and they do as best they can, according to what they feel from within themselves, they do the best they can to give out. I've heard this referred to so often with mediums. They give out. Point is, what do they give out? Now, I'm not being unkind here. It may sound so. Because I do believe that the highest form of mediumship, now this will surprise you, the highest form of mediumship is that which comes from within one's innermost soul. It's something that you have no doubts or fears or qualms about. You know with an absolute certainty within yourself that that which you are receiving and giving out is not of yourself in a material sense. Now, human nature being what it is, sitters as you refer to them, or inquirers into the subject, invariably in a sense, when they have received what they feel is evidence of survival, they've had conviction, which has satisfied them, and that is as it should be. But unfortunately, it seems to me that the whole of the spiritualist movement is on one level. There seems to be no reaching out for the more important things which lie behind what we have to do to bring conviction in the early stage. You know, it's very important, I think, that people should realize that that which we have been able to do and achieve in the past, on various levels, mind you, is really, as it were, the ABC. It's really, as it were, the initial opening up of the door. Jesus is purported to have said, and other great prophets and teachers have said, of course, over the centuries of time, knock and it shall be opened unto you. But a lot of people have knocked, and they've had the door ajar, but they've never really gone in to find out what is on the other side. And this is exactly what spiritualism is all about at the moment. I do think it's very sad. I think that it is very unfortunate that there are not, it seems to me, people who are dedicated enough, who are prepared to give themselves as best they can and as completely as they can to become the instruments of the spirit in the highest possible sense. There's not one of you here that if you really made a great endeavor, could not become great mediums. But I'm talking not about the mediums who give you the little messages, give you sometimes some prophecy, which may or may not come to pass. Sometimes they cheer you up and you go out and you feel a bit brighter, a bit happier. You feel you've been in touch. But I'm not saying you haven't been in touch. But what I'm concerned about with, who you've been in touch with. And perhaps I'm being very naughty on this score. But I want to see people developing, as you term it, and opening up their innermost selves to the reality of the things of the Spirit, so that they are in tune with us on the highest possible level that they can hope to reach, while still encased in material matter. I mean, I know that there must be various levels. I do not criticize, though it sounds as if I am. I know there are two or three of you here that are mediums as such, and you practice your mediumship, and you do it to the best of your ability, and there are times when you are quite sure within your most innermost self that you are in tune, that you are receiving from the realm of spirit some personal evidence or something which is of comfort and help, and that is as it should be. And you're not to be blamed if you're not able at the present moment to do the work of the Spirit as you would like to do it, or as you would prefer to do it. Because, quite frankly, among the spiritualists themselves, in many instances, they don't encourage you. Indeed, they'd be very annoyed and disappointed if you were to try and lift them out of the mire of material things. They would rather sink a bit deeper rather than to climb up towards the stars. You know, I don't want to say anything which in any shape or form would depress you. That's the last thing I would want to do. But I will say this, that each one of you, to some extent, can climb a little higher than you have so far reached. Each one of you here is an instrument. I wonder how often people do realize the reality of this tuning in. I only wish you could understand how within yourselves, because you are spiritual beings while yet upon earth, how you can act and become spiritually minded and spiritually progressed. It's not so difficult, perhaps, as sometimes one might think. You get, of course, at times very depressed. Something goes wrong here, or something goes wrong there. Perhaps you have some problem with your bank balance or whatever it happens to be, and you get down in the dumps, and you feel that you can't tune in on a mental and spiritual level because of the things that are causing you such concern in a material way. This, of course, we do understand. And we do not make, or very rarely, do we make promises that we cannot fulfill. We certainly don't deliberately mislead. And I'm speaking of most of the people that I know from this side that come to you. Of course, there are certain souls on this side who are very near the earth, and indeed are so very close to the earth that their whole thought is of a material nature. And in a sense, sometimes they can help you much more materially than some of the more, shall I say, highly evolved souls that are trying to break through the barrier that man has created through, if I may say so, his stupidity. And this goes to the spiritual. You know, I go to various spiritualist churches, or should I say, I have been, and I am absolutely, absolutely appalled of what is being presented as being from the peoples of this side of life. It's an insult. An insult to us, an insult to the intelligence of the people who listen to the rubbish that is supposed to be coming from an outside source. I only wish we could find here and there some soul who, so dedicated in themselves, allow themselves to be used in such a way that they can be taken over temporarily to voice the word of the Spirit in the way in which we wish to do it. I know it's very difficult. I know that it's, in some instances, for some, practically impossible, and yet I will not admit to the word impossible. I use it, but I know that every one of you here can do the work of the Spirit. You may not even call yourselves mediums. You may not even think of yourself as being a medium. But within your innermost self there is the reality of you, which is Spirit, which can reach out, it can tune in, it can become part of the universal Spirit. And you can be in touch in a way which you never thought possible. I want you to realize the great potential which you have. If, as indeed some of you are working on a certain level, as indeed you must temporarily, realize that the future holds great promise. If only you will try to tune in and to be part of the universal Spirit of love which we bring to you. We surround you with love, my friends. If only you realize how much, how we try to help you, how we try to uplift you, how we try to inspire you, how we try to guide you and put your feet on the path of eternal progression. We are your companions. We are your friends. We are those who love you as our brothers and our sisters in universal love. We are all one. We may be separated temporarily in a sense by material things, sometimes by the thoughts and actions which go sometimes around and about you and the influences you have to contend with in a material sense. But when you come together like this, we are as one. We are the universal Spirit of love and understanding. And don't therefore be unduly perturbed if on occasions you feel that you haven't made perhaps yet much progress. You are in the kindergarten, some of you particularly. I won't mention names, but I do know this, that it has been said, and it is so true, that oftentimes you have to be as a child, to think as a child, to be as a child, to see as a child. And truly, though you are indeed rather, in a sense, like children, we love you, and we try to give to you all that love which a parent would give to a child. You are our children. We love you. And we shall help you, we shall guide you, we shall uplift you, we shall inspire you. Given the opportunity on these Wednesday evenings, when you come together, we shall open doors for you, and you shall walk in new ways, and see with new eyes, and truly hear with the ears the word of the Spirit. But even in spite of whatever we may do or achieve, it is within yourselves. In a sense, though this group, this circle is vital and important to us, we would also stress that it is within yourself. Even if you could not attend, even if this circle, like so many others, were to break up, we would not desert you. We would come to you. We would tune in with you if you strive to lift yourselves above that which is of the material unto the heights of the Spirit. Be of good strength, my friends.
Dr. Lang, can we ask you a question before
yes.
you go?
George yes, and I am taking up a lot more time.
George and I were asking what we should ask you on the way down in the car. Could you tell us anything, we thought, of how your life is on that side?
And my life is?
What you do, your thoughts.
There are many, many things that I do, and yet I do them not of myself, in sense. Of course, these things that I do are of myself, but I no longer see myself as myself. I no longer think of myself as one person. I see myself as part of so many a soul over here. I don't know how to explain this, because you see, we have the ability to take on an appearance. This is not like masculine and divine, that we have the power to appear, in a sense, different from perhaps another aspect of self. I do a certain amount of what I suppose could loosely be called rescue work. I go to certain spheres, I suppose I have to use that expression, certain places where there are souls who are completely happy. Don't misunderstand me. They are happy in their environment because that is all they know. And that is all they aspire to. There are untold numbers of souls living on different levels of consciousness who are content with their lot or their way of life, and they do not see or particularly want to see anything else other than that which they are experiencing. Now, if I say this applies particularly to men of strong religious belief, it might come as something of a shock, because the average person on your side who follows the teachings of the master, or indeed whatever their particular religious background or belief may be, they endeavor to live what one might term a decent good life. But often their mind is cluttered, often their mind is so overtaken with their own idea of what is correct or what is right in their religious belief, they cannot see any further. I was inclined to be like that, and that's one of the reasons why I endeavor to do what I am doing, because I do not want to feel that I have in myself built a barrier. And it's the easiest thing to do, let me tell you. And a lot of the souls that I go to visit and try to use my experience and my thoughts.
Are those souls on your side, Doctor?
Of course,
yes.
They are not evil, they're not bad, they're happy. They're in their own way of thinking, in a perfect paradise. Mm-hmm. Now, this may strike you as being the most weird and the most extraordinary thing, how a community of peoples can live together in harmony, in love, in contentment, in the realization that what they believed when on earth was correct. They have built their own heaven, but it's an illusionary heaven. And in some instances it's a form of heaven, depending on the particular background or religious belief that they had. It's a religious aspect which they cannot release themselves from. There are certain souls indeed who live on a certain vibration, I use this terminology because it's the only one that I can really think is suitable. They really honestly believe that they are awaiting the trumpet call, and that they will go back into their physical bodies. Even though they've become absolutely, of course, disintegrated with the passing of earthly time, and even those who died perhaps through fire or heaven knows what, you know, what people should realize is that you are no different, really, 5 minutes after so-called death than you were before. You are the same person without the physical body, it is true, but you are still the same person with the same outlook, the same thoughts, the same ideas, the same religious intolerance, if you had it. And some of the people over here are living in a kind of world of their own making. You see, this is the truth. Everyone will create their own condition of life. In the beginning, some, of course, may not be aware that they're dead at all. And they may be thinking they're in some sort of dream state. And then they will anticipate they're going to wake up out of their dream and become
as they once were, as they were before they went to sleep. Of course, there are many, many fallacies. There are many, many stupidities. There are many things that transpire that are very puzzling. But in the majority of instances, when a person leaves your world, invariably, more often than not, they are met by other souls whom they have known and loved. Mm-hmm. You might say a husband and wife, or a parent and a son, or whoever. They are received, and they are helped, and they are comforted, and they are made to realize almost immediately in most instances that death has taken place. But this doesn't necessarily apply in every instance. And I do a certain amount of what I suppose you could call rescue work. I also try to do something of the sort on your material plane. And I like to think perhaps I'm helping to rescue some of you.
Can I ask, is the object of what you do to enable these people to develop to their full potential? Are they being restricted by their attitude to the level that they're on? And until they realize...
Well, the point is that you must remember too that time is an illusion. Over here we do not have time as you understand it. We have a sensing, if you like, of time.